Clive, can I just, it's reverberating over here. Can you just turn it down, please? 1, 2. Just take it off here. Thanks. All right. So, how many of you like to bake? Put up your hand if you like to bake. Okay. I'm looking for a man's hand. Anyway. So, I also like to bake. And I bought a little recipe this morning. Too fresh to flop. Easy mix. I got it because it says easy on it, and that's the key. But have you ever noticed that all these things come with instructions? They come with instructions. I'm going to read it to you because some of us might not know how to make this, but after this you will. All right, you go buy it, and you read the instructions. That's how you do it. All right, so let me read it to you, and then I'll explain why. Instructions. Preheat oven to 180 degrees. Place easy mix into a mixing bowl. Lightly beat eggs, oil, and water. Add to easy mix and mix with a spoon until just combined. Do not overmix. Spoon equal quantities of the mixture into a well-greased muffin pan. Bake for plus minus 20 minutes or until golden brown. Pretty straightforward instructions. All right. Those of you who are veterans in baking, you don't need this. Right, you know how to do it. It's fine. All right. But for those of us who've never baked before in our lives, this is highly important. I'll tell you why. It says that you will need, and it gives you the ingredients, and it says cooking oil. Because imagine you read lightly beat eggs, oil, and water, and you added, I don't know, cannabis oil. You could potentially have an unintended and catastrophic disaster. Not to mention be seeing some funny things. Right, what happens if you forget the eggs? It's a flop. It's just crumbs. Won't hold together. Right, and I see people look at me going, oh, you know that. Yeah, I don't just eat the stuff. I know how to make it too. Instructions are important. If we skip a step, it could end up bad. And in baking, it's okay. If you mess up, you throw it away, you start again. But in life, if we do not follow God's instructions, we don't just miss out on a piece of cake or a muffin. We miss out on a blessing. The blessing of God using us and being obedient to God and seeing the result that happens from that obedience. So how do we know the instructions of God? There's two things. Firstly, the Word of God. All right, don't turn off here. All right, don't switch off and go, okay, he's talking about the Bible. All right, listen. Because it's important. The very reason God gave us his word is so that we can know him and so that we know what we are instructed to do in this life. These are our instructions right here. That's the whole point. How do we find out about something like salvation? We go to the word and read about it. Yes, sometimes our pastor tells us, but it's found where? In the word of God. How do we find out or know what God is calling us to do? All right. 9 times out of 10, in the Bible. The second way that we receive instructions is through the Holy Spirit that God has given to each believer. All right? Everyone who puts their trust and their faith in Jesus Christ has the added advantage of the Holy Spirit in their lives. But following the Holy Spirit and his leading requires us to learn his voice. We don't just have it and follow it. We have to learn the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have to learn to recognize it. And if we decide as believers to go to forego our daily time in the Word and in God's presence, learning his voice, we skip an important step and an instruction that God has given us. Because we are followers of Jesus, we belong to God. We belong to him. And he has work for us to do. He has work. What did Jesus command each disciple to do before he went up to heaven? Who knows? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, so that is what we are meant to do. It's an instruction. In fact, it's a command. But in order to do God's work, we have to be obedient to his voice and direction in our everyday lives. And if you have your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 8. We're going to read about someone today who heard clearly God's instructions and obeyed them immediately. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. I'll give you all a moment just to get there, and then we'll read. Reading from verse 26, it says this. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert." So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they came down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Awesome, awesome story. Let us pray as we unpack this. Father, thank you so much for an opportunity to share your word, Lord. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and speak through me now, that every word that I speak would not be my own, but would be from you. And I pray that our hearts would be open so that you can challenge us, shape us, and mold us in your image. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, Jesus' commission to his disciples was to go into the world preaching. And here we see a man named Philip. And Philip was one of the seven deacons chosen in Jerusalem to help look after the poor. And what is amazing is that he became quite an evangelist. And he did exactly what Jesus said. He went and he started preaching. He started sharing the gospel in Samaria. And he came to a city in Samaria. If you heard the story of Simon the sorcerer, if you haven't, go read it in Acts chapter 8. But same city that Simon was in, Philip came and preached to crowds and crowds and crowds of people. And when they heard about Jesus and heard what Philip said about Jesus, they put their trust in Jesus. They believed and they were baptized. And then while in Samaria, an angel appears to Philip. And what did he say? What is the instruction that the Lord gives Philip to do? He says, "Go down the desert road that leads to Gaza." Now, I find it interesting that that he was given a direction, but not a destination. I think this is really, really important because it speaks of Philip's complete reliance on God. He didn't know where he was going. How many of you would go down a road where you had no destination? All right, so some of us would, but some of us wouldn't. Some of us need to know where we're going. All right, it's important. A lot of us will go, "I'm not just going to walk blindly down the road. God, you need to tell me where I am going, or else I'm standing still." And we can be very stubborn sometimes. But Philip, he received these instructions and didn't hesitate to obey them. He knew not where he was going. He just knew in that direction. And he would have to wait on God for further instruction. So he immediately obeyed this message from God. He didn't question him. He didn't argue with God. He didn't say, "I'll go later," or choose someone else. He just said, "Okay," and he went where God told him to go. What is your response when God clearly tells you to do something? Do you obey immediately? Do you make excuses and delay your obedience? Do you flat out ignore the instruction? It's really important for us to stop and think about how to recognize if God has clearly instructed you on what to do. There are many people alive today who think that God only spoke to people in biblical times. But we know that's not true. All right, God is alive and working right now. And many children and teenagers sometimes think that only God speaks to adults, not to children. But even in the Bible, we see that's untrue. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, the story of Samuel when he first hears God's voice. All right, God speaks to a young boy named Samuel. And at first, he doesn't know it's God. God didn't speak to Eli the priest. He spoke to Samuel the boy, the little boy. And when Eli realized that it was God speaking to him, he said to Samuel, "That's God." So Samuel, from a young age, from a little boy, heard the voice of God, began to recognize the voice of God in his life. Even today, God speaks to children and speaks through children. There are some children who are more obedient than adults, more obedient to God than adults. And I'll share a story. There was a young girl in this church many years ago. All right, and she was 10 years old. And she came to this church to Sunday school. Parents sent her to Sunday school because, you know, get them out the house so they can sleep in. And through this girl, she goes home. She says to her parents, "This is not right. Why is it that I go to Sunday school, but you don't come to church?" And through that little girl, 10 years old, mom and dad came to know Jesus. And through them knowing Jesus, the mom's parents came to know Jesus. And they sit in our church today, Brenda and Ben Van Sail. And this is all because God used a 10-year-old girl. And Brenda was sharing with me just now as well that it's amazing because Barry is now a pastor. Michaela, who was the 10-year-old, is now married to a pastor. And the younger sister, Cassidy, is married as well. Yes, married as well to someone who preaches in the church as well. Incredible how God uses a child to save a family. And that's just an example. There's many other stories that have gone on. And if you think I've left you out, I haven't. God speaks to the elderly as well. All right, I'm here today because of the love, encouragement, support, and often correction of elderly people who were listening to the voice of God. People who didn't know what had happened and came and spoke to me and said, "God told me to tell you this." And a lot of who I am is because of that. And there's many people here who've had the exact same experience. God speaks. He still speaks today. Whether you're young, whether you're old, He's speaking to us. But we have to turn our ears to Him. We have to listen to Him. And how do we know that it's God who's speaking to us? Firstly, everything God tells us to do will line up with us, will line up with the Word of God. If we think God is telling us to do something sinful or contrary to His Word, my friend, you're not hearing the voice of God. You're either hearing your own voice or the voice of the enemy, but it's certainly not God. So if you ever want to test if it's God speaking to you, open up your book and see if it matches. So Philip obeyed God and began walking where the Lord instructed him to go, down that road, down that desert road towards Gaza. And sitting in a chariot passing by Philip was a man all the way from Ethiopia. And I believe that it's not the same Ethiopia as we have today. It was around Egypt, but east and south of the Nile. That's where Ethiopia was, near Kush. And so he was a treasurer for Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, and had traveled all the way to Jerusalem for one purpose, and that was to worship God. So he was a foreigner, and the Bible calls him a eunuch. All right, so in Jewish law, eunuchs were separated from Israel's community. So they were not allowed to worship in the inner temple with the rest of the Jews. They had to be like the Gentiles and stand in the outer courts and worship there. And although he was not a believer in Jesus, we can see that he had a desire to know God, to seek God. I mean, otherwise, why travel 200 miles, which is about 320 kilometers, just to worship? And it's important to be reminded that not everyone who attends church is saved. It's true, just in case you were wondering. There are many people who attend church and are seeking God, wanting to know about him. And they know that this is the place to come and hear about Jesus. Some people attend church because they think it's the right thing to do. But they don't know Jesus. They haven't put their faith and their trust in him. So many people are just like this Ethiopian man. And while he is traveling, he's reading scripture. He's reading from the book of Isaiah. And as he does this, the Holy Spirit now comes to Philip and gives him another instruction. So until this point, Philip was just being obedient and walking down the road. God said, walk, and he walked. And he walked, and he walked, and he just waited. And the Holy Spirit must have come so clearly and powerfully to him to say to him, go up to this chariot and stay near it. Some Bibles say overtake, some Bibles say stay near. And so Philip does exactly that. Now, I want to ask you a question. Imagine today, as you're walking along the street, or God tells you to walk down a specific street, and a bus comes past, and you hear someone in the bus reading scripture aloud, and God says to you, go jog next to that bus. How many of you would do it? I'd try, but God would have to do a miracle in my life before I'd ever do that. But this is what Philip did. Now, obviously, chariots weren't as fast as buses, but he ran next to this thing. He went and listened to what the Holy Spirit had told him. And as he listened, the man read the scripture aloud. But this is the moment where God grants Philip the wisdom to say the right thing. Have you ever been in a situation where you believe God has called you to speak to this person, but you'd have no clue what to say? You're not new to that. Philip was in the same boat, standing there waiting. God, what do I say? God, what do I say? And God gives him the wisdom to know exactly what to say. And he asks him one simple question. Do you understand what you are reading? And I think this is incredible because when we're obedient to God, he opens up doors. All right, when we follow his instructions, he gives us wisdom to know what to say, when to say it. And this is what Philip did. He asked a simple question, and he did nothing else. All right, except be obedient. Up until this point, it wasn't Philip who orchestrated this whole event. It was God. God knew that this Ethiopian man was going to be passing at this time on that day, and he asked Philip to go down that road and would meet at the exact same place. It was all led by God's Spirit and by his plan. And all Philip did was say, okay, God, I'm going to follow what you've asked me to do. And he was there. He was available. He was available. So his question that he asked the eunuch opened up the opportunity, right, to get up onto the chariot, to sit with him and to explain what the guy was reading. So Philip does this. He gets up, and from the very same passage, he starts to explain what has been read. Then this man asks Philip a question that completely now opens up the conversation for Jesus to be shared. He says, who is this man talking about himself or someone else? And Philip can then go, he's talking about Jesus Christ. And he shares the good news of Christ with him. And I love this story because it shows that sharing the good news does not depend on our ability to do it. Because a lot of us sometimes think we can or we can't. And it might be true in our own strength. But when we're available to God, when we give God our availability, he equips us to do it regardless. And so Philip wasn't anything special. Right, the Bible, when he was chosen as one of those seven, says that he was a man full of the Spirit and with great wisdom. And so it was God's Spirit in Philip's life that caused him to be able to share the good news effectively with this man. And I wonder sometimes how often we desire to share the good news with people. But instead of trusting God and the Holy Spirit, we just throw the good news at people and say, I told someone about Jesus. But there was no effect because we did it in our own strength instead of relying and trusting in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And the second thing I want to point out is that Philip, he didn't refer this man to someone else. When the guy said, no, how can I, until someone explains, Philip didn't go, well, there's this guy back in Jerusalem. How about you turn around, go back and listen to him? He also didn't go, well, I'm too tired. You know, I've been walking. I'm just going to go to Gaza, get some food, get some sleep, and tomorrow let's meet back here again, and then we'll go through it. He didn't make excuses. He didn't let his own physical weaknesses get in the way of what God wanted to do. And I wonder how many of us are like that today. When you get into an opportunity where God leads you to a place where you're able to share the good news with someone and you go, come to church on Sunday and listen to Mark. God has led you to that place. Mark has his own things that God's leading him to. It's not the job of the preacher to tell people about Jesus. Yes, that's part of our job. We do that. But every single one of us has a mandate to go and tell people. And when God leads you to a person, opens up an opportunity in a situation, we need to jump at that opportunity. We need to, in fact, dive head first into that opportunity. Because A, we're being obedient to God, and B, we're being blessed by being used by God. But thankfully, Philip was listening to the voice of his shepherd, and he obeyed his instructions. He had the wisdom to see that this man was truly seeking God. And because Philip explained the scriptures to this man, he now understood what he was reading. So the mysteries in the text that he didn't understand now became alive and real to him as he understood who this Jesus was. Then he sees water and says, now what can hinder me from being baptized? I assume this must have come up in the conversation. Philip says here, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answers, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. So him and Philip step down, go to water, and are baptized. And as they're walking out, Philip's gone. I'd love that to happen to me. Just after being obedient to God and chatting to someone mid-sentence, poof, somewhere else. But this man's life was now changed because of what he had learned. And he had an important sort of position in working in Ethiopia. All right, he had an influence, a platform. And because Philip was immediately obedient to God's instructions and was there at the time that he was asked to be there, the man was returning to Ethiopia as a believer in Jesus now. Not left in the darkness, but now in the kingdom of light, with an opportunity to go back to Ethiopia and make a difference there. And the Bible doesn't say how he was used or if he was used, but I can only imagine that an encounter like that must have been a blessing to that country and to that land. And we have no idea how many people's lives would be changed here in Ganubi or in South Africa if only we listened to and obeyed the voice of God in our lives. There's a community out here, there's a country out there that is so lost in the dark, they cannot see properly. And although they're seeking something higher, something greater to be able to follow, we are the ones who have to be obedient to God to go and tell them. And it's not always leaving home, going to a foreign country. It's right where you are, in your businesses, in your schools, in the shopping center. God opens opportunities every day. We just got to be willing to listen and be bold enough to go and speak. Yeah, there's a lot of us who are shy and will claim, no, I'm an introvert, I don't do that kind of thing. Rubbish. You may be an introvert, But God's power in you, all right, makes you bold. Makes you step out of your comfort zone and say, I need to tell you about Jesus. Because it's good news. And it's not good news for me only. It's good news for the world. So we need to step out and do it. So God is calling us, each and every one of us, to be obedient to him. Not later, not tomorrow, not next week, not when we're older, now. In the circumstance we find ourselves in the place of our lives we find ourselves in right now, he's calling us to be obedient. And when he speaks, we listen and we are told what we need to do. Through our obedience, God could be blessing a community or a country or a nation. We only need to listen. And if we fail, as we do because we're human, and sometimes we don't hear God or we're not listening or we choose not to obey, God will use someone else. He will. But we miss out on the blessing of being obedient to God and being used by God in their lives. Let's pray. Father, this morning I believe that you challenged me more than anybody else. And I pray, Father God, that you would give us as a church, as a body of Christ, the boldness. Father, along with a desire and a passion to see the people who are lost in darkness come to know Jesus. And Father God, it's not about going out and taking 50 courses on how to preach. Yeah, those are helpful. But Lord, it's about knowing you and listening to your voice. Father, you equip us, you call us, and you lead us. And you also give us the wisdom to know what to say and when to say it, if we are only obedient to what you're calling us to do. And so, Father, throughout this next week, I pray for opportunities for each of us. Blatant, clear opportunities that we cannot run away from, but that are so clear we know that you are leading us into it. And God, when we are obedient to you, that you would do a mighty work. Yeah, God, I'm so encouraged by Philip. And even though he came from a place where the move of the Spirit was massive and thousands of people were saved, he still obeyed you to go to that one person. And who through that one person, many more should be saved. And so, God, we thank you. We thank you that your ways are higher than our ways. And that when we trust you, your plan and your purposes come together for our good and your glory. And I want to close now with a scripture from Romans. Chapter 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that you, the God of hope, fills us with all joy and peace as we trust you, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of your Spirit in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.